It must have been a little bit like that on that grassy mount near the Sea of Galilee as Jesus sat down to teach. We know that Jesus and his disciples were walking along, followed by great crowds. And so Jesus went up the mountain, and as they got to the top, you can kind of picture the scene. The disciples and Jesus are there. The crowds are slowly kind of making their way up the hillside. And so Jesus sat down to teach, as rabbis did in those days. And the disciples gathered round, as students of rabbis did in those days. And we said that Jesus opened his mouth to speak and began to teach. But what came out of his mouth was some of the craziest stuff Jesus ever said. And I know at first that's probably a little shocking to hear it put that way. And to be frank, it was probably shocking for the disciples to hear some of the things that Jesus was about to say. It just so wasn't the typical thinking. I mean, Jesus is talking about things in ways that just seem so seemingly crazily upside down. Now, I've heard of a particular experiment for many years, but this was the first time I actually researched it. There was an Austrian scientist by the name of Theodor Erismann. And this was probably about 56 years ago when he created a pair of goggles that for his assistant to wear that turned everything upside down. Have you heard about this experiment before? It's kind of interesting, you know, as he's looking through these goggles and seeing the world upside down, I mean, everything just changed, right? Like he would see water being poured from a coffee pot going up, and so he would turn his cup over to catch it, right? And then, of course, the water's going all over the floor. They would do sort of like mock fencing with sticks, and if somebody swiped low, he would go high because everything was turned around. Everything was just topsy-turvy on its head, so to speak. These words of Jesus were so upside down. We refer to them as the Beatitudes. It comes from the Latin word beati, which is how each of these began in the Vulgate, the Latin version of the Bible. And I think sometimes we think blessed as in almost beati, almost like these beautiful words of Jesus. But really, that word for blessed in the Greek is really better translated as joyful. Joyful are you, rejoice and be glad. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And a lot of people look at life and they say to themselves, well, there are ways that the so-called successful people of the world seem to be good at what they do and are happy and blessed. But I think it makes more sense for us to say things like, blessed are the assertive, for they get the desires of their hearts. Or blessed are those who act with positivity, for they shall rise above their grief. I mean, that kind of can do, I can figure it out, I can get over it, that makes sense. And we hear that from a lot of people, right? I mean, they hear athletes, they win the big game, and they say, I'm so blessed. Or maybe you get a job promotion and you go, I'm so blessed. Or maybe things work out exactly the way you want them to work out and you say, I am so blessed. And it is right and good to be thankful, but I think so often we think of blessings as things that we have. But as we look at what Jesus says here, this blessedness is really a state of being. Our problem is that even though we know better, though we understand what Jesus is saying here, is that, and we get what Jesus really means, I think sometimes we still think these statements are crazy. I mean, how else do you explain our continued arrogance, our continued bitterness, our continued harshness, our continued contentiousness. I mean, if we really looked at these statements and says, yes, this makes sense, rational sense, then we wouldn't be harsh and we wouldn't be contentious. But these things are so upside down, so different to our natural thinking. When you think about it time and again, we prove by nature that we are not just in this world, but we are of this world. Which is why we so needed different thinking. Someone who is not of this world, but was willing to come into this world to live perfectly, to die selflessly, to rise gloriously for poor, miserable sinners like you and me. It is Jesus, the man with these crazy statements on the mount, who would rise, climb another mount to be glorified, and yet another mount to be crucified, so that you and I could arrive at yet another mount that Zephaniah talked about, Mount Zion, that beautiful picture of eternity with our Lord. And in the coming weeks, we are going to see that. Jesus living as we cannot. Jesus climbing that mount of transfiguration to be transfigured in glory, where the Father, God the Father, gives his stamp of approval to God the Son as he carries out his mission for the salvation of the world. We'll see as Jesus climbs Mount Calvary to die in your place and mine, and we will see as he gloriously rises from the dead to guarantee your power and mine over death itself and the resurrection to eternal life, that you and I will be able to one day, as the book of Hebrews puts it, come to Mount Zion, that heavenly place prepared for us by Christ himself. And so it's in that confidence that we really begin to see things differently, these statements of Jesus. You know, that lab assistant with the goggles, everything was crazy at first. But little by little, fits and starts. Eventually, his brain began to figure out how to function. In fact, within about a week to 10 days, he could do things like ride a bike, drive a motorcycle, walk by people without running into them. He may have looked ridiculous with the goggles on, but he was able to function quite well, actually. Which is kind of the whole point of the experiment, that even with all of these different inputs into his eyes, his brain was able to see things differently. It's a neat picture of the Holy Spirit at work in us, right? That by nature, we look at these words of Jesus and they seem so crazy, so just out there, so different than what our human reason would say. And yet, through the work of the Spirit, we get to see these words of Jesus with spiritual perspective. That God is allowing us to see these things as God would have us see them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, because they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, because they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. That word blessed is an interesting word. We think about it so often, as I said before, about how blessed seems to be almost like we talk about things we have. But if you look closely at the way Jesus is using that word blessed, he's really talking here about a state of being, not a state of ownership. Blessed are you. Not you will be blessed, but you are blessed. As Jesus goes through that list of situations, things that maybe you aren't necessarily going through right now, but you may in the future, or you are going through those things, none of that changes anything. Because you are already blessed through Christ. See, these situations that come along, they don't make us such. They reveal who we already are in Christ. It's kind of interesting, the guy with the glasses. I mean, how many of you can read a piece of paper even though it's upside down from you? Yeah, I think a lot of us kind of can, huh? Or if you look in a mirror at words that are reflected backward, I mean, with a little concentration, it doesn't take much. You can pretty much figure it out, right? So is it the piece of paper that causes you to be able to do that? Or the mirror that causes you to be able to do that? No, it's your God-given ability in your brain to be able to take all kinds of input and make sense out of it. And as Jesus talks about being blessed, this is a state of being. If you find yourself in a situation where you are mourning, guess what? The mourning doesn't cause you to be comforted. It reveals that you already are comforted in Christ. It reveals who you are in Christ already. And so that as we look at these Beatitudes of Jesus, these aren't aspirational. They are revelational. This is already who you are in Christ. And the problem for us is we so insist on seeing things from our earthly point of view. But through his word and as the Holy Spirit goes to work, the Lord helps us to see things as he sees them. It is his heavenly focus that helps us to see past our worldly focuses, that allow us to see the blessings that he has in store for us. To truly be blessed is to see the blessedness we already possess in Christ. So trust in God's strength. Even if you're struggling, even if you're mourning, even if you're feeling persecuted, even if you feel weak, in Christ, you already are strong with the strength that he alone can give. This is heavenly perspective, and by grace through faith, you have it. Because blessed are you. Rejoice and be glad. Amen.